This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Ever wonder if there's a nutritional difference in the meat from grass-fed cattle versus grain-fed cattle? Well, Texas A&M University Department of Animal Science researchers have published two research studies comparing the effects of ground beef from grass-fed cattle versus grain-fed cattle on risk factors for cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes in men. 40% of Americans' total beef intake is ground beef, which is one of the most important sources of oleic acid. Ground beef from grass-fed cattle contains 3 times as much omega-3 fatty acids than ground beef from grain-fed cattle, but it is higher in saturated and trans fat. Premium ground beef from conventionally produced cattle is high in oleic acid and lower in saturated and trans fat than ground beef from grass-fed cattle. These studies have shown that grass-feeding cattle doesn't increase the amount of oleic acid in beef, as a quarter-pound beef patty from grain-fed cattle has more than 2 grams more oleic acid than that from grass-fed cattle. In these studies, men consumed both types of ground beef for 5 weeks. Older, mildly hypocholesterolemic men saw a decrease in HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, while eating ground beef from grass-fed cattle. Men with normal cholesterol levels saw an increase in HDL cholesterol from ground beef from grain-fed cattle. Neither type of ground beef increased LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. The bottom line is, ground beef from grass-fed cattle and ground beef from grain-fed cattle are pretty much on equal playing fields on terms of nutrition. Farmers will be battling many problems in their fields this season. However, the harsh winter may make it easier to take on the insects that can sometimes destroy a crop. University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray has this for row crop farmers.
Well, when you look at the effect that this severe winter may have had on a number of insect pests that actually do overwinter in the state, one of the insects is the bean leaf beetle. And bean leaf beetles can affect soybeans early in the season when they're emerging from the ground, the seedling stage, all the way through harvest. They do go through some, they go through a couple of generations. They overwinter as adults. They overwinter beneath leaf litter, in wooded areas, anywhere where they can get out of the elements. Cold winters like we've had really do take a toll on bean leaf beetles. Usually in the spring, about the time we get some sunny days, temperatures begin to climb over 50, bean leaf beetles will break their dormancy, initially go into some stands of alfalfa, feed on alfalfa, but they really seek out those early emerging bean fields. Bean leaf beetle populations this spring should be very low, so that's good news. Soybean aphids overwinter as eggs on buckthorn, and there's no question about it that survivorship of those eggs on buckthorn this year, this past winter, has probably really been severely affected. So I'm anticipating pretty low soybean aphid populations to start out this year as well. Japanese beetles, there's no question about it. Japanese beetles have caused some concern in recent years, especially in 2013 in some northwestern Illinois counties where we had high densities of Japanese beetles. We know they can be a problem in soybeans as well as corn when they clip silks. Japanese beetles overwinter as grubs. When we have hard, prolonged, deep soil freezes like we've had this year, Japanese beetle survivorship is going to go way down as well. So that's, again, good news. Western corn rootworms, they overwinter as eggs, and we know that those eggs that are laid in the upper soil profile, let's say down to 4 inches, they probably took a hit as well in terms of survivorship. Now, one thing to keep in mind, western corn rootworms can lay their eggs more deeply than 4 inches, and in fact, we know in some cases we can find eggs down a foot or more in the soil. So those are probably going to come through in pretty good shape, especially where we've had heavy snows providing that blanket of insulation out there in fields. But I guess overall, the winter has probably helped us out with regard to reducing some of those insect numbers that we commonly think about each year.
Again, that was Extension entomologist Mike Gray. The Illinois Wheat Association will host the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour on Wednesday, May 28th. The tour will give producers an opportunity to make crop observations and make yield estimates of the 2014 winter wheat crop. The tours will commence at four locations at 9 a.m., Seymour Milling Company, Tutopolis, Minnell Milling Company of Illinois, Mount Olive, Waymer Seed Company, Muskuta, and Wabash Valley Services Company in Carmi. The report back session will begin at Brownstown Agronomy Research Center at 4 p.m. with tours of the research plots. After a catered meal, the report back session will provide wheat yield estimates for the 2014 wheat crop. A detailed flyer is posted on the website and will be mailed to all Illinois Wheat Association members in early May. There will be no charge for the tours or the evening meal, but reservations are required. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Thousands of farmers every year depend on federal crop insurance to help protect their income from unavoidable loss. And many of those farmers depend on country financial agent Wayne Schaefer to help sort through all the programs available and find the best one to meet their needs. Remember, you can depend on country for all your farm insurance needs. So from the time you put it in the planter till the time it comes out of the ground, you've got coverage from Wayne Schaefer, your country agent in Jerseyville, an equal opportunity provider. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706. Visit ctemi.com for more information. Carlinville Truck Equipment.
If you're going to challenge the status quo, you don't do so timidly. You've got to dig a little deeper and aim a little higher. Introducing FS Envision Seed Corn, engineered with genetic muscle to outperform expectations. We're the challenger brand, but make no mistake, we're here to unseed the top seed. See your local FS member company or visit fsenvision.com. Powered by Green Plant Solutions.
How would you like to have a personal spokesperson speaking up for you on issues you care about? That's something you can count on if you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau. With ongoing public relations campaigns and advertising programs at state and county fairs, in news conferences with top farm and political leaders, and daily contact with media, the Illinois Farm Bureau provides an exchange of the latest up-to-date information available to and about the farmer. The Farm Bureau really tells the farmer's story. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means more.
We all know that farmers everywhere are subject to some pretty tricky weather changes, but as it turns out,
the hardest place to forecast the weather is in the middle of the United States.
That's meteorologist and agricultural economist Mike Tanura. Let's focus on why he says it's so very hard to predict the weather in the middle of the United States, where the majority of the world's corn is grown. It is different than any other primary commodity crop growing region on the planet for some very simple reasons, says Tanura.
Number one, in the central U.S., we have mountains off to the west. So if you think about it, as you're driving toward Denver, many people have done that, and as you get closer to Denver, you can see the Rocky Mountains in the distance. But until you get there, it's completely flat. So if you were to look at a map of the United States, the Rocky Mountains are essentially a big wall.
This wall funnels cold air from the Arctic into the Midwest. It does the same for tropical air from the Gulf of Mexico. Neither air mass can surmount the Rockies to expand and dissipate westward.
And so now you've set up this wall, and you have Arctic air coming south, you have tropical air coming north, and those two tend to interact right in the middle of the United States. The other unique thing about the middle of the United States is that it's flat. You could walk straight north to the Arctic or straight south to Latin America, and you would barely run into too many hills. It's generally just a flat topography. So we don't have a lot of interference with these different air masses when they do come to the north and to the south. So just because of that reason alone, that just sets up an incredibly unique setup that we really don't see in too many other areas of the world. I would argue the only other area that you really might see something like that would be in parts of Japan or possibly even parts of Argentina, but the Argentina climate doesn't fluctuate nearly as much as ours. So you just set yourself up for a very difficult weather forecasting experience in the central United States. Not surprisingly, though, you have a lot of meteorologists like myself that find that fascinating.
It's the north to south alignment of the Rocky Mountains that sets the stage for volatile weather in the Midwest. Here's how that differs from Europe, for instance.
Europe is generally flat, except that it has the mountains right through the middle of their continent. But the difference between the Swiss Alps and, say, the Rockies is that the Rockies extend from north to south. The Alps extend from east to west. So that blocks, remember the mountains are basically a wall. So you have a wall lined up from east to west across Europe. So when tropical air flows northward from Africa, it gets blocked. Similarly, when it comes to the south from the Arctic, it gets blocked. So it's difficult to make those two air masses interact simply because of their topography.
These geographic differences, argues Mike Tenora, make weather in the middle of the United States far more difficult and interesting to predict. It also makes predicting corn yields much more difficult. But farmers are going into the fields this spring feeling much better about the price of corn than they did, say, a couple months ago. Todd Gleason has more on the reasons why things have gone from dire to acceptable.
When the corn planters roll in force across the Midwest this spring, their owners will be far more optimistic than just a few months ago. Late in December, the market for corn looked to be truly tanking. However, demand for the grain has been strong, and it looks to stay strong enough to use up the better part of a big crop that was harvested last fall. Strong demand has caused USDA to lower the projected number of leftover bushels. It's down for 5 months running, notes University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Continues a multi-month process of lowering that projected year-ending stocks down to a very reasonable level now, not nearly as burdensome as what we thought it would be last fall.
Compared to usage projections made in November, current projections are 100 million bushels larger for corn used for ethanol production, 350 million bushels larger for exports, and 100 million bushels larger in the feed and residual category. It leaves about 1.35 billion bushels in the bin. That's called the carryout, or the ending stocks figure, and impacts how much corn USDA will project to be left in the bin 18 months from now, too.
And I would guess that they're going to project only a modest buildup in corn inventories next year. So that suggests corn prices next year could challenge what we saw this year, something in the low to mid $4 range. The market currently is above that, I think, as it's probably factoring in some production risk here with the late spring we're experiencing. But again, I would not expect to see a forecast of sharply lower corn prices for the next marketing year.
Well, the whole thing is a moving target, but right now it appears to be pointing to a bit higher season's average cash corn price for this year and one next year that could be about the same. Both those figures are higher than would have been projected late last fall. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Be sure you tune in tomorrow for the Saturday Horse Show. This week, I spoke with students about an interesting learning opportunity they get to have, dealing with foals. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.